It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
And, of course, it is not Denise, but Dan, how you going?
Good, thank you. Yes, I'm not Denise, but kia ora to you. And can I just say, Laura, a ka pai for your te rapa. Your pronunciation is spot on.
Oh, thank you. It actually took me such a long time because a Canadian accent is not conducive to good te reo pronunciation. yeah, but how's your day going so far?
It's going well, I must say. It's been a few years since I was on The Wire. I was student president in Auckland Uni, so I used to go on The Wire every week back when I was president in 06.
Oh, wow. Now my face is sitting here with a big, wide, gaping mouth at that.
So I used to come into your studio, and I loved sitting down with you guys, and you got a good culture up there. I really, really like BFM, and you know, it's a student-owned radio station, at least it was when I was there. I hope it's still student-owned.
Yes, still student-owned.
Excellent.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, you're earning some brownie points early in this interview. Now, jumping into the harder subjects, the Misuse of Drugs Act. That bill's finally gone through. Can you tell me a bit about National's position?
Yeah, look, we voted against the bill because we believe that we believe in being tough on people who break the law, and we think that essentially this law, what it's going to allow is that police will now be directed to not prosecute all drug offences. So we believe that that's going to mean that people who are buying or using hard drugs, you know, P, heroin, cocaine in particular, they're not going to get prosecuted. And we don't believe in that. We think that, look, these are illegal drugs. They're harmful, extremely harmful drugs. And I'm sure we all have cases in our own community of people who have used and abused these drugs. And I just think that it sends a wrong message, and that we need to be firm on people who break the law, and that's why we voted against it.
Mm. So I'm curious, do you think so you don't believe that we should be taking a therapeutic approach and a health approach to drug use in New Zealand?
Well, I don't think it's a binary kind of thing. You know, of course we need to look at health approaches and ways we can transition these people off, but at the end of the day, Laura, it's an offence to use these drugs, and when people break the law, they ought to do them, and you know, they ought to be charged under the law for breaking these offences. That's why we have a law in the first place. So we just think that the government has opened up the floodgates for, you know, essentially decriminalising in many ways these drugs. So that's why we voted against the bill.
Mm. I am curious with that, with reference to what you just said there in terms of that binary. Paula Bennett made a comment that National is in favor of greater rehabilitation and tougher sentences. A lot of people could look at that and call it a little oxymoronic. But what exactly does greater rehabilitation and tougher sentences look like?
Well, it's, rehabilitation is all about drug treatment and also educational services. And, you know, National pledged $40 million at the last election for drug treatment and educational services, including additional 1,500 treatment beds. So that is an indication that, in fact, yep, we're strong on law and order, but also we believe that we need to take a health-based approach as well in order to solve this complex challenge. And I think we can all recognise that the challenges with drug use and abuse are very complex in our society.
Absolutely. When people go behind bars for drug offences, though, do you think that environment is conducive to being able to get rehabilitated?
No, not at all. And I think we can look at our own reoffending rates from those that are released from prison, and that should concern us all. I'm not sure exactly the numbers, but a high number of prisoners reoffend within the first 2 years of being released, and so we do absolutely need to look at ways to beef up that rehabilitation, and that's what we would have done. But also, I think it's really important to send the message that, look, if you're going to break the law, if you're going to use these hard drugs or sell or distribute these hard drugs, then you will be prosecuted under the law.
Mm. Interesting. I might shift on to the official cash rate next. I personally love talking about economics. I don't know if
me
you're in
too.
This. Ah, lovely. I love a good economist.
I studied economics for 7 years.
Oh, wow. Level. Oh, you might be a little above my pay grade. So I'm curious because the official cash rate, of course, has been reduced. And what National's kind of party line at the minute has been around this is placing the blame on coalition government. Do you think that's fair?
Well, let me just, you know, not talk about party line. Let's just walk through what they've done. So this week, the Reserve Bank governor decreased the official cash rate by 0.5%. Now, that has taken us all by surprise. Typically, when the governor reduces their official cash rate, it's usually by 0.5 or 0.25%. The only other times, Laura, that this has dropped by 0.5 is times like the Great Financial Crisis in 2008, like the September 11th attacks in 2001, just to give you a sense of the scale of the change and perhaps what they might signal for New Zealand's economy going forward. So I think the Reserve Bank, in their announcement that they're dropping it, signalled not just global headwinds, but signaled certainly a drop in expected economic growth in New Zealand, and certainly a drop in business confidence and investment. And so our line really, Laura, is look, the government is wanting to shift blame elsewhere, you know, whether it be the previous national government, whether it be, you know, Brexit, whether it be Trump, whether it be trade tensions with China. But in fact, what we absolutely are trying to say is no, it is also and significantly about the policies of this government and the lack of confidence that in particular the business sector has in this government's economic plan and economic management. So that's our kind of broad perspective. And, you know, it was, again, a very big drop this week, and we just have to wait to see how that goes in the next few months.
Well, what I find interesting in what you've just said is you referenced the 2008 GFC, the, what was the other one?
The September 11th attacks in 2001.
Yes, and those are all global affairs that go on to impact New Zealand. So in saying that, in referencing those things, doesn't it seem a little counterintuitive to place so much blame on coalition government?
Well, it's not about, you know, it's actually about being fair in our assessment of what's going on. So absolutely, we are a small, externally focused country. So, you know, we trade with the world. So, of course, when things happen in the world or in the global economy, that, of course, affects New Zealand. But it's also about how New Zealand reacts to that, that positions us within that context. And what we're saying is, look, we've had business confidence plummet, consumer confidence plummet, benefit numbers are up. You know, a lot of significant policies, whether it be the oil and gas decision in the Taranaki region in particular, those kinds of decisions have affected New Zealand's economy. And we believe that that should be a part of the reason why New Zealand's slowing down, and the blame shouldn't just be shifted abroad.
Well, then I am curious with what would National be doing amongst a slowing global economy and multiple trade wars happening in order to ensure economic security for New Zealand?
Well, I think the first thing is around giving businesses certainty over the regulations that are coming out from government. So we've had deep uncertainty in the area of workplace relations, where this government has, you know, increased unsustainably so the minimum wage. Now, none of us disagree about that going up. It's just that it's an unsustainable rate for many businesses to afford. Then we've got fair pay agreements. So for the listeners on the show, fair pay agreements are sector-wide agreements that will standardise pay across a particular industry. We don't agree with that, and the business world doesn't. And I think the government hasn't been clear about their intentions with that, and that's causing a lot of uncertainty in the business world. So I think what's really important is to have a government that gives certainty for the business world so that they can have confidence to invest, they can have confidence to hire, and that they can have confidence that New Zealand is in good shape. And I don't think under this government they have that same level of confidence.
Mm. The Royal Reserve Bank has also indicated they're willing to go into a negative, which for most people would be quite detrimental. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, so what do negative interest rates mean? It certainly means you don't get money on your savings. Japan's had negative real interest rates for some years, and that's been absolutely detrimental to the economy. So I think right now the official cash rate has been set at 1%, and there is a real concern that real interest rates may drop below zero, which effectively takes us to negative. So we're going to be watching that very, very closely. And our spokesperson for finance, Paul Goldsmith, has been doing a great job at holding Grant Robinson to account and asking him questions, because we don't think the business world has confidence in Grant's management and going forward.
Mm. Shifting on to abortion law reform.
Oh, we're getting all the tough topics out today.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, I gave you the tough topics. I'm hoping you can handle them. So, yeah, really heavy subject. Now, from what I'm aware, you voted in favor of this, correct?
Yes. So, look, first reading was voted on yesterday for abortion law reform. 94 MPs voted in favour, of which I was one. That's a fantastic result, a really significant result for actually the government. So I think Winston Peters and New Zealand First are calling on a referendum. I don't support a referendum, and actually in those numbers at this stage, I would say that we're not going to have a referendum. We'll be able to hopefully pass this through Parliament pretty quickly.
Because the conversation around a referendum, I believe Simon Bridges was saying this isn't an issue that should be voted on in a referendum. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I think, you know, particularly when you've got consensus amongst MPs already, which you seem to have indicative from yesterday's result. But I do think that the government's signalled that we're going to have a cannabis referendum next year. They've signalled that there may be an end-of-life choice or euthanasia referendum. To have a third one, I think, is just going to be so confusing to a lot of people on very complex, emotionally charged subjects. So I think that pulling out one of those referendums, if not two, would be ideal. And I think the government's announced that they're going to have this cannabis referendum. But yeah, I would agree with Simon. I don't think a referendum is needed.
Is it potentially a bit patronising to the public to say these issues are too emotional or too complex to vote on?
No, I think, you know, I have full faith in democracy. So, you know, it's not about being patronising. It's just being being focused and clear about making sure the public has the information necessary in order to make these well-informed decisions. And I must say, I mean, you know, you can take end-of-life choices, for example. It is a complex topic. All of these topics are very, very complex, and we just want to make sure people have the information and that there's a robust debate so that people are well informed when they go. And I just don't think three referendums in an election is what we're looking for.
Interesting. Now, I've also seen that you don't necessarily support the 20-week mark. Can you tell us a bit more about why?
Well, look, I'm not extremely well-versed on the issue of abortion. It's not a topic that I'm completely passionate about, or that the reason why I got into politics. So I think I posted online that I have some concerns about essentially abortions being freely available up to the 20-week mark. Now, look, I will be absolutely guided by the select committee process, so I would encourage your listeners, if you're passionate about this topic, for either side, please make a submission on this bill, because there are people like myself who will be voting on this that will be influenced by your submissions. And ultimately, I'm very supportive of the overall legislation. I just have some reservations about how freely available it is for particularly those that are up to 20 weeks. And to go into details a bit more about that, should they go to a GP to get a referral? Now, I'm not saying they should. I'm just simply asking the question, and I hope the select committee investigates and analyzes questions like this in a robust manner.
We're just running out of time, so I might just cut it off with our final question, which I like to delve into a personal question so we can get off the heavy subject and not feel so serious. But my question for you today is, what is your favorite type of candy?
My favorite type of candy? Well, I must say I'm a little bit of a sucker for Whittaker's chocolate. And right now my go-to chocolate for Whittaker's is the fruit and nut. So that's the key to my heart right there.
That is a great choice, though. I feel like it's underrated, but fruit and nut is solid.
Oh, no, it's coming back, yeah. No, never underrate the fruit and nut.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Dan.
Have a good day, Laura. Good to have a good one.
See ya.
Cheers.
Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.